Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. It is a primary day in the great state of Wyoming. That's Liz Cheney territory.
It used to be Cheney territory. Now it's Megaland.
We find ourselves oddly rooting for Liz Cheney. Also, we've had a lot of conversation today about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and what an inadequate representative of our state he makes. And, you know, he's great if you're a billionaire. He's all down for you if you're a pharmaceutical giant. But if you're a Medicare recipient, he'd really like to revisit your coverage each and every year. And above and beyond that, he doesn't want you negotiating with those poor, big pharmaceutical companies.
Well, if you do so, how are they ever going to find the money to scrape up for a little bit of R&D? So, you know, hate to see all that R&D go away.
You know, because someone's got to research the ivermectin and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Lots of ivermectin use. Well, Dominic, you know, many of these crazy loon ball candidates, well, they're Trump endorsed, of course. And I want to take you there. Jennifer Rubin does as well at the Washington Post. She's got a little opinion piece. The GOP is paying the price for Trump's loopy, she calls them, Senate candidates.
That's a nice way to put it.
Loopy. Thanks to defeated former President Donald Trump, Republicans have nominated a host of unqualified, extreme, and loopy Senate candidates for the midterms. The party is now paying the price. The New York Times reports on the latest indication that the party is facing fundraising woes. You don't say. The National Republican Senatorial Committee has cut more than $5 million in Pennsylvania, including its reservations in the Philly media market, according to two media tracking sources. It also cut more than $2 million in Wisconsin. No wonder why Rojo needs the widow Hendrix to throw a little fundraiser for him, Tom. He's down $2 million in spending and about $2 million in the biggest media markets in Arizona. The candidates in each of these states, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Rojo in Wisconsin, and Blake Masters in Arizona, are all Trump favorites. Johnson, Rojo, seems to have never met a MAGA conspiracy theory didn't like. Masters is a flat-out election denier and a crank, and Oz, a multimillionaire known for hawking snake oil medical cures, unsurprisingly turned out to be a rotten candidate who has been mocked as a carpetbagger for his ties to Jersey. Republicans have yet to cut spending on other weak candidates. In Ohio, for example, the party continues to boost J.D. Vance, even though his campaign is struggling. And Vance's recent suggestion that women in violent marriages should not seek a divorce, well, that's not helping his cause. Republicans who haven't diverted funds from Herschel Walker in Georgia, although he might be one of the worst Senate candidates this cycle. Now, he's going up against Raphael Warnock, right?
Yes.
Vance in Ohio is going up against Congressman Tim Ryan. Ron Johnson, of course, in Wisconsin, going up against Mandela Barnes. Dr. Oz going up against Fetterman. That's a little contrast in hairstyle, if nothing else. So anyways, back to Herschel Walker, one of the worst Senate candidates this cycle, thanks to his nonstop stream of fabrications, cringe-inducing incoherence. I'm just occasionally cringe-inducing, Dom. And radical positions, such as his support for a nationwide abortion ban, without any exceptions.
Crudy, some of these candidates might still prevail given the Democratic and partisan balance of their states, but Senate races and other statewide races, such as for governor, attorney general, and secretary of state, pose key tests for the mega-conquered GOP, since Trump's blend of delusion and narcissism might not work outside the right-wing media bubble and deep red states. That's a problem in the swing states of Arizona, Michigan, and Nevada, where a bunch of election deniers are running. Sure, Trump's lapdog may be able to win in low turnout primaries in a heavily gerrymandered districts, but general elections with healthy turnout could be Trump's Achilles heel. Perhaps that explains why the GOP is attempting to reduce turnout and stack the offices of state election administrators with mega cultists. It's tough for the party to win when democracy is thriving. Oh, damn, Ruben.
I know that one stings a little, doesn't it?
A little bit, man. Not coincidentally, as Republicans are cutting advertising in states with mega election deniers, the nonprofit arm of the Republican Accountability Project is launching a $10 million ad buy in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, seeking to peel traditional Republicans away from Trump acolytes. The group's ads use clips of Rep. Liz Cheney during the White House, during the House January 6th Select Committee hearing, and testimonials from Republicans disgusted with the mega crowd's disrespect for the rule of law.
Defund the FBI!
Where Republicans sense they might be wasting money on losers, RAP is putting its foot on the gas. Both sides seem to agree which candidates are the GOP's weakest links. Just as Trump's obsession with the big lie of a stolen election arguably cost Republicans two critical Senate seats in Georgia, it would be fitting if Trump's mega endorsements once more kept Senator Mitch McConnell from regaining the majority leader title. The Kentucky Republicans' inability to break with Trump once and for all, ergo refusing to vote to remove Trump during his impeachment trials, helping block a bipartisan January 6th commission, declining to condemn Trump's retention of highly classified documents, for example, might deprive McConnell of the thing he craves most: power. For the GOP as a whole, underwhelming performances in statewide races by handpicked Trump candidates would be a clear signal that Trumpism remains a minority faction dependent on anti-democratic rules such as gerrymandering and the filibuster. There's no certainty such results in November would impair Trump's chances of winning the nomination in 2024, given Republicans' fidelity to the former president over democracy and truth. But it would mean that refusing to cut Trump loose is a recipe for perpetual minority status, writes Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post.
I think that Donald Trump is crystallizing Democratic turnout. I mean, midterm elections prior to 2018, you know, midterms were always low turnout, 35 to 42%, something like that. Last time, 50% turnout. And I think as Donald Trump continues to insert himself into state races, into senatorial races, I think he's the best turnout mechanism the Democratic Party ever had. You know,
in some sense, again, but, you know, we also have still continued investigation going on with all the results of what Trump, the stink that he left on this country. But the Roe v. Wade decision is also going to drive turnout to a great degree. I think those two combinations, I think we'll continue to see higher than normal midterm turnout.
No, I would agree with you, Dom. Obviously, the overturning of Roe v. Wade is an extremely big deal. But I think that when Donald Trump presents himself and inserts himself upon the electorate, and people look back upon the chaos, even if he has supported the guy, he was still chaotic. He was still bad for the nation. He didn't bring us together. He tore us apart. So I think people are so sick of Donald Trump, right? You'd like to think that, but the Republicans, they're still enamored. They're still in love with this guy. So it's going to come down to the swing voters, as it always does. You know, those people that make up their mind on election day, you know, depending on the weather,
the coin flips. The National Party finds itself in they're cutting what spending. The National Republican Senatorial Committee cut more than $5 million in Pennsylvania, $2 million in Wisconsin, and $2 million in markets in Arizona.
That can't be a good sign for Boy Rojo.
And then you got the other side, this nonprofit arm of these Republicans who want to, you know, try, what's this called? The Republican Accountability Project, launching their own $10 million ad buy in, you know, a half a dozen states, trying to peel back some whatever might be left of traditional quote-unquote GOP members, that is a party in disarray, and rightly so, man. I mean, you know, what's his name? He said it. Who has to testify? Forgive me. The South Carolina boy. He's got to go testify.
Lindsey. I do declare.
Said it years ago. You know, if Trump gets elected, he's going to destroy this party. And that is exactly what we are seeing unfold before our eyes. Now, I would have liked to have seen it happen sooner. But, you know, looking back years from now, perhaps it will seem like it happened real quick. But living through it seems certainly a long slog. But the disarray of the national party, the Trump impact, the loons and the wackos. I mean, really? I mean, Dr. Oz, I mean, Herschel Walker, like, pulled a gun on his wife or something, and then he's like, oh, give me an opportunity to talk about mental illness. That's a great segue, but no, dude, that's not okay, really? And this is a guy who they want to be a senator? It is really the... So many of these races are just the perfect contrast of governance and you know, decent human beings and total wackos. I mean, you know, everybody's flawed. I'm not suggesting that any of these other candidates that are running against Oz or Herschel Walker don't have a flaw in them. But man, compared to these people that Trump and the Republicans and the GOP are putting forward, man, it is a very big difference between those candidates.
You know what's strange to me is Republicans embrace black conservatives. Oh, they love them some Herschel Walker. Now, Herschel Walker, obviously, Heisman Trophy winner. He was a Georgia Bulldog. There's some home, you know, backyard cooking going on there. They think that that'd be good for him. You know, good because he has high name recognition in the state. And that's enough, right? Because he's a black conservative and they can support the guy. And he'll steal, what, black votes away from Warnock because that will be his opponent. So it's strange to me, you know, Diamond and Silk, that if you find a black that is supportive of Donald Trump, they just embrace that character. So look at Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Oh, they love that guy on Foxy News.
Yes, they certainly did.
They used to anyways. But why was David A. Clark Jr. not acceptable for the Trump administration? What is in his closet that makes him unacceptable for Trump? You think on that. Then come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.